Thank you.
Cheat sheets right there?
Yep, thanks a lot. I'm gonna use this a lot this evening. Hi, everybody. My name's Tom. I'm an alcoholic. First of all, before I start anything, I want to thank Kevin for asking me, because I'll get caught up and forget to do that, and I appreciate it. And you did say a lot of people say they got a lot out of it when they were done, so if nothing else, I helped myself, and I hope I helped a few other people along the way. So, but anyway, I thought tonight that 10, 11, and 12 are the maintenance steps from the first nine that you do. Okay, so you do 1 through 9, and that you put that all to work, and then 10, 11, 12, you just kind of maintain your sobriety and your lifestyle and your new adventure that you're on. So I kind of wanted to just go down through the all of them and touch on each one a little bit tonight about in my life. So step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and our lives were unmanageable. And I think I made the comment at the time that I reversed that, because my life was unmanageable. When I got here, I realized alcohol was my problem. So step one, very hard step to take, but when you do finally get in here and start to admit that you're having a problem with alcohol, that you're opening the door for things to come. And that's not an easy thing to do. So, and step two, came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore us to sanity. Well, that was a difficult one too. For me, my higher power was the group. And I used that for a very long time. I would have to tell you, I still struggle with that part of the program. Sometime, if you ever see me and we have a few minutes, I'll explain it. it's difficult, but I believe. Let's say that's just a good term for Tom's. I believe, and a lot of people in here use the word God. I don't kind of throw that around, but I will tell you, I believe there is a higher power, whether you choose to call him God or the group or whatever. It's here and it works, and that takes a little time to get a grip on too, especially when you're if you live life like I did, which was helter skelter craziness from 13 years up to 32. It's hard to really get a grip on something that is normal for most people. All right, so three, made a decision to turn my will and my life over to that higher power. I think that gradually came along to do that. Again, skeptical, it's probably, if I looked at that, it would have been like, how many times did I tell my wife, okay, I'll never do that again, while turning everything over, I'm thinking the same thing. Yeah, sure, I'm not going to do that. But holding back a little bit, part of my lifestyle was holding things back, never being quite as honest as I should be with things, or quite as truthful as I should be about things. So, but again, you have to make that decision, and if you don't make it, you just keep coming back. Eventually, you'll find yourself doing all that stuff. So, and I would say that, it's, as far as I'm concerned, I can't speak for anybody else, but I just kept coming back, and good things started to happen to me. I got here because I wanted to learn how to drink, not because I wanted to quit drinking. I just wanted to learn how to handle it, go out and be sociable. So that doesn't happen. And eventually you realize, holy smokes, I don't know when it happened, but it does. And you start to realize, life is very good without alcohol. I don't know how I could have ever thought that way. But, my whole world evolved around alcohol. You couldn't mow your lawn without somebody saying, hey, let's have a beer when you're done. Everything was alcohol. And life is very good without it. And if somebody told me I could start drinking today, I probably wouldn't, because I just think life is so much better without it. And through the grace of God in this program, that's the way I feel. I don't need alcohol. I don't want it. And my life is a whole lot better because I joined AA. So, number four, I made a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself, and that's a little deeper than just saying you vandalized somebody's laundromat or something. It's you gotta dig a little deeper into your own personality, and that's a part of the thing that struck me. I had issues in my thinking. My moral compass was off. And when you sit and start thinking, you rationalize your behavior for so long, you drink for so long, you start thinking all this stuff is normal. Everybody does it. Everybody kind of acts like this, you know. That's not the case. And when you do that, moral inventory of yourself, those are the kinds of things you got to dig out of yourself and make yourself realize, you know, that really is wrong. And the way I'm doing it is all wrong. So you, that's what step four is for you to do. Then you admit to God, which is your higher power, and another human being, which is your sponsor generally. That was my way of doing it. The exact nature of my wrongs. And again, that's to get rid of the baggage, you know, and help you get rid of all that stuff that probably even subconsciously starts to eat you up. You don't even realize it. And six, I was entirely ready to have God remove all these shortcomings. Well, you know, I probably didn't quite understand that when we got to it. And if you're struggling with a God or a higher power, you know, that's what you got to do to turn it over. You know, you got to believe. And I think part of getting here and admitting you're an alcoholic and that you're struggling with stuff is opening that door to start to believe. Is that for me?
It's your higher power.
Yeah. Call it off. So, anyway, turning it over, again, I think just by my coming and being here, it happens. It just happens. I don't know if anybody, I've never talked to anybody that told me they intentionally turned it over and, you know, everything just kind of, God just took it. You know, I've never had quite that happen. So I think the more you come, the more you absorb what everybody's telling you, and the more that you see the miracles in the rooms, the more you start to believe, yeah, this works, it's real. And you start saying those little prayers that come in when we get further down the line here. So humbly ask him to remove those shortcomings. Okay, we do that. Made a list of all people we had harmed. You know, that's okay, and that's good. Got to get that done. Get that out of your mind and out of your conscience. And you make direct amends for people wherever possible. All right? Except when they do injure them, would injure them or others. And that is just kind of a, you know, another soul cleansing type of step. You just got to get rid of that baggage that you're carrying around. And that's how you do it. And most people, anybody that I had to deal with in that, was pretty receptive to it. Actually, more so receptive than telling me, you know, get lost. I didn't have any of that. So, and 10, 11, and 12 are the maintenance parts of all of that stuff combined. Okay, 10, you continue to take personal inventory, and when you're wrong, promptly admitted it. So that for me, that's an everyday thing, step 10. And it's something, I can't speak for everybody, but I do it every day, kind of subconsciously. I know when I'm wrong, actually, and I'm wrong now and then, and if I said something out of line or did something I shouldn't be doing, I fix it, and I fix it pretty quick. But the part for me that works the best for step 10 is I'm as honest as a day is long. I don't lie anymore. I don't try to hide anything. You know, I did that too long. I used to, when I was drinking, if I stopped at McDonald's to eat something on my way home from a bender, I told my wife I stopped at Burger King. You know, I was just a liar. And then, you know, everybody knows, you start telling too many stories, you can't keep track of them all, and that's the best thing to do. Honesty is the best. the best policy. So personal inventory every day. You know, I ask for help every morning, and I think I get it because I say, you know, your will be done, not mine. And that kind of gets me through every day. And 11 is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God or our higher power as we understood Him. Okay? Well, again, I don't really understand them, but I pray. I say prayers. Might be a little one, might be a rather long one at sometimes. You know, I've got some kids that I keep trying to pray into the program. but you know, usually it's short and sweet. You know, it's not get me out of this anymore. It's, you know, help me today. Help me to do your will today and not mine. And just don't hurt anybody. Do the right thing kind of stuff. It's not nothing elaborate. And 12 is having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. Try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles all over. That's what we do. That's what I'm doing here. I'm carrying the message. And I try to do that more by example, I think, than talking about it too much. I mean, I talk, I lead, I've done some things and stuff. I've been sober 41 years. And I haven't done it alone. It's been AA and these groups, these meetings, conferences, different friends I've made here. So it hasn't been something I did, and it's something that I share with anybody that's interested. You know, I've got a lot of folks that know I don't drink anymore. I got a lot of folks that don't know how I quit drinking, especially the ones that used to drink with me. You know, they're flabbergasted. So there are a few folks I tell how I did it, but generally speaking, I'm willing to share, and it's a service. You know, if you're new, getting up and sharing the message, giving leads, taking part in the meetings, being secretaries, treasurers, coffee makers, whatever. I know a lot of that's changed now with this COVID stuff. You know, there's not a lot of that going on right now, but that's just part of the carrying the message. You're out there working at it, helping people every day. So I don't know really what else to tell you, but that's me in a nutshell. I got here and I stayed and I got better. I got the best life I could ever ask for, and I can't say any more about it. It works. It really works. You gotta work it though. You gotta come in and do what you're asked to do. And if you have questions about something, any of those steps, anything else, find somebody you can ask them about it. You know, no question's a dumb question. And I'm sure I had a bunch of them when I was. I like to tell the one. Early on in my sobriety, I was thinking my wife was my problem. What heavens, how could that be? But she's a beautiful gal and she stuck by me. But I used to think that she was a big part of why I drank and why I got drunk. And I would talk about her quite a bit. And I think my sponsor and a couple other people I was talking to one evening, I started saying some stuff. And I said, Tom, why don't you just go kill that bitch? Shut me right up. Got the point, you know. I said, you know, what am I doing? Just, what am I doing? So people have a way here of helping you get through some stuff. You know, when you're thinking dumb thoughts instead of looking at yourself, they can bring you right around to where you need to be. And that happens to me quite regularly. I think about it. I think about the people here and what goes on. And if I got a question or something, I'll call Ike. Or I spend a lot of time with Ike. We'll go out to eat once in a while. Him, Marianne, and his wife, Marianne, and my wife, we'll go out to eat. We have more fun than I can ever remember having when I was out on benders. I'll tell you that. But anyway, it's a great program. I hope I've helped someone. And thanks for asking. I did 15 minutes for you.
Thanks, Tom. So now we're going to open this up to questions and answers. So anybody on Zoom, if you have a question, feel free to unmute yourself. Just go ahead and ask. Anybody here in the room has a question, go ahead and raise your hand. We'll start with Eric.
Oh, yep, first. Thanks, Tom, so much for your message. Back to your wife, if you would have gone through with that, you'd be out on good behavior by now. So that's a plus.
I'm sorry.
If you would have killed your wife, you'd be out on good behavior by now.
So. Yeah, right.
No, I was listening to a Buzz Green lead today because Bruce and Kevin turned me onto the website. He mentioned a lot. There was a question at the end of his lead, and I thought it was a good question that was pertinent to me. When did you have your spiritual awakening? How far into the program? And what steps did you have to take to try to reach that moment?
What steps did I take to...
To reach that spiritual awakening, whenever you had it, and how long did it take for you to have it?
Yeah. Well, I would have to tell you, my spiritual awakening, it probably took a couple of years before again, I can't speak for anybody else, but when I was drinking, I could float along day to day, you know, without thinking about much of anything. And I lived my whole life up until November 4th of 1979 that way, you know. When that really hit me, it wasn't a bolt of lightning or anything. It was I realized, you know, there's something here. I don't know what particular day it was or what time it was, but it was when you go into meetings and people, you look in people's eyes, you can see it. You know, people that are sober for a while, you can see it, and you can feel it, and you can feel the energy in here, and that's kind of what I did. And I think the spiritual part of it came when I started, probably after a couple of years, asking for help in the morning and thanking him at night. That was just not necessarily because I wanted to, but I was told, you know, that's what you probably need to start doing and stay connected that way. So. You can't make me repeat all that, can you? he's over here muting me.
We got booted off.
Did you guys all hear that? No. Okay, technical difficulties. I got some people trying to talk to me now that are muted. I don't like what they're saying. All right, well, I'll try that again. It happened. The question was, when did you realize you had a spiritual awakening, or when did you know it, and what did you do to maintain it, right? And it took a couple of years before I realized that there was a spiritual side of this thing, and it was the group. It was my higher power. My spiritual awakening was just realizing the power in these rooms and the people, all right? And I just maintained it by asking for help in the morning and thanking him at night when I was staying sober and doing the right thing, you know, getting my life in order. It takes a while. That's part of it, too. I mean, you know, you don't drink the way I did and mess things up as badly as I did and have things return to normal within the first year or two that you're in here. You know, it takes a while. I'd probably venture a guess of 10 years anyway before I had all the spaghetti back in the box. So, does that answer your question?
Better said the second time anyways.
There you go.
Did it do it again?
Who else has a question? All right.
I'm Donnie, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Donnie.
Now, how do you handle the promptly admitting part of step 10?
Problem where?
The promptly...
Promptly admitting.
Promptly admitted it?
When you know you're wrong.
Yeah, well... I think as soon as, you know, as soon as I've realized that I'm wrong, that's admitting it right there, that you're wrong. And you can usually tell I mean, you know, like if I get, it's usually now when my wife and I aren't getting along or we're arguing about something, I can tell, you know, oh, I probably shouldn't have done that, and I'll let her know, maybe not right away, but I'll later on tell her that, you know, I probably shouldn't have acted that way or I'm sorry about that. But it's pretty quick, you know. When you're here a while, and if you've been here a while, you know when you're right and wrong. And we tend to, Alkies are good rationalizers, you know. I was thinking about this the other day. I could still rationalize, you know, how somebody deserves my anger. But the reality of it is, when I think about it, they really don't deserve it. And, you know, when I think things through, you, generally speaking, I'm part of the problem, and I got to fix that part. That comes to experience to change, the will to change the things I can, and to know the difference, you know. And the only thing I can change is me. I can't change anything else.
Who else has a question for Tom? Bruce has a question.
Thanks, Tom. That was I liked your style, how you did it, and open and honest. And when you didn't know, you promptly admitted that you didn't know, and that was no big deal. But on step 11, you talked about prayer and meditation. What's your take on the 11 step prayer?
The 11th step prayer. Bruce, you got me again.
Bruce is 11 step prayer.
Boy, there's a bunch of them there.
Anyway, have you ever heard the St. Francis prayer?
I can't say I have.
Well,
you know, I ask him for help in the morning and I thank him at night. That's about it.
This is just a little bit more detailed, and the list of things that we should, I believe, do on a daily basis. And I just wonder if you ever read it, yeah. Used it, asked any of your sponsees to do it.
Yeah. In all honesty, though, I don't use them per se. I make up my own as I go. If there's something specific on my mind that I'd like some help with, I bring that up and I try to incorporate that into it. But I'm not a big voracious reader, and I don't see the lot. I didn't see that stuff.
You know, like I said on the 7-step prayer, it grabbed me, and I thoroughly enjoy it. I thoroughly say it.
Yeah. Well, so the big one for me is the Serenity Prayer. I say it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. I like that one, and it means a lot to me. I think I get a lot of strength out of that.
Anyway, I was just wondering if you'd used it or you use it with your sponsees or anything.
I'm having trouble hearing you, Bruce.
I wonder if you'd used it with your sponsees or anything.
No. No, I haven't.
Okay.
I just, like I said, I don't have that many sponsees. I've a couple over the years. You know, in the 40 years, I count on one hand how many people have asked me. And of that five, there might be one success story. So. But I tell them how I basically tell them the same thing I just told all of you. You know, this is how we do it. This is what you need to do to stay sober. Keep coming back. Don't pick up a drink, and it works.
Oh, yeah,
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, I love that prayer. That's the one you're referring to. Yeah. Well, that's
reciting to the audience.
There was a gentleman who led at the Monday night meeting a while back, who before the meeting, before he started his lead, he recited this prayer. And it was a very good lead. I really enjoyed that song. It says here, Lord, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love, that where there is wrong, I may bring spirit of forgiveness, that where there is discord, I may bring harmony. that where there is error, I may bring truth, that where there is doubt, I may bring faith, that where there is despair, I may bring hope, that where there are shadows, I may bring light, that where there is sadness, I may bring joy, excuse me, Lord, grant that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds, it is by forgiving that one is forgiven, it is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen. Yeah, that's a powerful story, I think. But again, I've read that, and I forgot that I read it. You know? So, I have a great memory, it's just very short. That's another very powerful prayer. I enjoyed it. But again, I haven't had enough sponsees that I can point that out.
Who else has a question for our speaker? All right, Seth.
Can they turn that up? Well, I can't remember.
Tom.
Yeah.
I just forgot what I was going to ask you.
All right.
Oh, with the 12th step, now you said by leading here and giving the steps and then also sponsoring and secretary and treasurer, how else have you done 12th step work besides us, outside of the rooms?
Well, I just say anybody that asks me, you know, I have had occasion with some folks that drink too much, asking me different things like how do you do it and, you know, stuff like that. I'll get in discussions with some of those people, but I've 12-stepped for a while when they had the answering service. I don't know if that must still be going, isn't it? But I haven't gotten a call from this AA service line to 12-step anybody in not forever, but did stuff like that. And anybody needs a ride, you pick them up, you take them. You know, it's just constantly being. If you're not in a meeting in a group, you're talking to somebody. You give Kevin a call, you give Ike a call. You see Bruce, you say how you doing, type of stuff. It's just constantly living it, not really staying away from it. You've got to be part of it. That's kind of what I guess what I mean is be part of it in any way, shape, or form that you can be.
All right, Ryan's got a question.
Hello. I'm Ryan. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Ryan.
You can hear me, right?
I can hear
all right,
now,
good
yeah.
deal. I got kind of a. I think it's a simple but complicated question. Do you ever admit that you're wrong, even though that you're right, just to put something to bed and have it dusted, you know what I mean? And can you be tough on someone or something when you're right, when it's black and white, when you're right, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can you still be tough, or do you have to be, like, you know, really humble and, you know?
Well, yeah, you know, that's a very good question. I'd have to say I probably have said, yeah, you know, you're right, just to try and forget about it and end the battle. You know, there's some battles, pick your battles, you've heard that phrase, you know, some battles just aren't worth the trouble, even though you're probably right, so you forget that. And as far as standing your ground, I think if you're right, whoever you're talking to, if you're right, you've got enough ammo to make it clear that you're right. And if they're, you know, if they're not willing to bend, then you're in a losing battle. It's one of those kind of just say, hey, you think what you want to, I know I'm right.
Right, as long as your side of the street's clean.
Uh-oh.
As long as your side of the street's clean.
Right.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Who else has a question for Tom? Anybody on Zoom? It's been quiet on Zoom.
We
walked out.
Okay.
All right, Kevin's gonna.
Oh, get things rolling again.
I can't get away from Kevin.
No. Anyway, on behalf of the group and myself and the people on Zoom, I'd like to thank you for this commitment. It's a big commitment.
Thanks for asking.
And you know, it's nice. We've got a couple of parting gifts that I don't know if Greg thinks that you've passed the audition or not. He's the chairperson for a reason. So.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway, I did like the way that you summed up the steps beforehand, which would be really nice to listen to again. The other thing is you talked about steps 10, 11, and 12 being maintenance steps. So, for you, what I understand is you're saying it's kind of automatic with you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we have a couple of newcomers here, so maybe you could explain the, you know, when you come in and if you're a newcomer and you walk in and they're talking about having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps and you've got 3 days, it's like, wow, what?
Yeah.
So maybe if you could just, you know, just like at the beginning, give somebody a couple of tools that will help them, you know, get to 41 years.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was one of those people. You know, a long time ago, I think I said once before, you know, when I came in here, if people were talking God and spiritual awakenings and higher power, you know, I just sat in the lab. I came late and I left early. You know what I mean? I sat at the closest seat by the door so that when it was over, I was gone. And so what I would tell somebody is, you know, you just have to keep coming back. Keep an open mind, you know. Higher power doesn't necessarily mean God, you know, sending a bolt of lightning down to wake you up or anything of the kind. It's just I think it's a very slow, general process that happens. You just have to let it happen. And by coming in through the doors, you've opened that door. It's just how far you want to open it to let this stuff come into your life. And by talking to other people in the groups, I think that was a big thing for me too. Finally breaking down, letting down that wall. I didn't have to break it down, I had to let it down because it was, you know, it was a wall of my own making, you know. I didn't really want to talk to anybody here. I just wanted to sit back and have you teach me how to drink. So, and I got much more than that. I got a great life. That's it. I mean, you know, I don't blame anybody that comes in if they're leery of the term God and spiritual and higher power. I'd be willing to say just about everybody comes through the door has that feeling, you know. So, but it's something that's part of the program. And once you're here a while and you see the miracles that are happening, you have to start believing because you see enough of it, you know. And I think that's how it worked for me. I saw enough people that you know, drank like I did, behaved like I did, were worse than I was. Well, we're not as bad as I was. But, you know, we're all in here for the same reason. And however we get to that point of finding that spirituality or that willingness to say a prayer in the morning or ask for forgiveness and stuff like that, the humility part, you know, you're there. You just got to let the wall down and let the good things happen.
Yeah. All right, Ike.
Oh, big time.
Just an interesting question. How long did it take you to realize that when it comes to your spouse, that you're very rarely, if ever, right?
I still haven't realized that. I yeah, I hate to admit it. The question was, for anybody that didn't hear it besides myself, how long did it take me to realize that my wife was right all the time? I still haven't realized it, but she is right. But she does have her days where she's wrong, and I'm right. It was one of those rationales.
How do you handle those things?
Popping up, yeah. I just go away. I just say, well, time to take a break. So.
Anyone on Zoom?
No more Zooms.
Any more questions here in the room for Tom? If not, Tom, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We have a couple of things here for you.